Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Are these on? They are on. Hello. How are you today, dear?
I'm fine. That round there, I'm not quite sure.
Oh, wow.
I got a lot of liquids.
Oh,
I'm in a fringe fury already.
Oh, why?
We got genuinely that bus. I can't bear it. I won't be able to do that every day. Getting the bus in. I live in South Queensferry, which is about 10 miles north of here, and the bus normally takes about 30, 35 minutes, an hour and a half. Of constant people getting on the bus going, where does this bus go? Oh, God, fucking Edinburgh, it says it on the front.
Yeah, but you shouldn't go on buses. It just facilitates the poor. Of course they're going to ask questions. It's ridiculous. So,
I'm very cross.
Because I thought, I'll get the bus. And then I thought, bitch, please.
No.
Because as you know, I'm getting my monkeypox vaccine today. This has been day three about talking about it.
I thought you were
it.
Having it yesterday.
They had to shift it, unfortunately. Because the Rome team, whoever they are, I'm sure they're in a murder mystery Scooby-Doo van down at Silver Nows. Mm. They had no vaccines left. And I just thought to myself last night, I thought, it has to happen today. I cannot afford to ruin my epidermis. I cannot be Gabriel.
No, but also there is...
Not doing it.
So
not doing it.
Gabriel. Is there a run on vaccines then for the pox?
I'm sorry, what?
Is there a run on the vaccine? Is it a popular...
Oh, God, yeah. The homos are going wild.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so there you go.
What happens today? So this is your third attempt?
Yeah, today. And if not, I'm calling in my brief. I'm calling in my legal team.
Oh, right.
And I'll get injected with something, whether it's the vaccine or something else. I don't care. I just want a needle in my arm.
That's a whole different story.
Oh, God, not for that. No, right. I'd like a needle in my arm of, like, quick recipes.
I haven't read up on the monkeypox and what it does to you.
I don't think it's aimed at you because you're not a bummer.
No, but I can do...
Monkeypox wouldn't live in you for fear of what it might catch.
But this dick... Yeah, it's probably avoided me like the plague. But why? No, monkeypox, anybody can get it because it's infectious. If somebody's got it, you can get it from it.
Apparently. Oh, my God, do you know anything about it? These just seem to be very aggressive statements.
It's not sexually transmitted, is it?
Apparently it is. Not that I'm having sex, obviously. I want to be prepared. I can't have lumps on my skin. I spend so much on facials and Botox. I'm not doing it.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough. So it's not really from a health perspective. It's a vanity perspective.
A vanity project.
Yes. Oh, no, well, that's a show that we won't promote, actually. It's on in this venue at 4:30. That got into some podcast chart that they made up. Right, now, we have a very full show. Should we begin?
We should, darling, yes. I saw who was all coming in and I thought, oh, that's nice. This is going to be a lovely
chat. Well, you did. Now, you need a way, don't you, Glenn? Yes. So we've got Glenn Moore with his Glenn O'Clock News. Glenn, can you
Glenn,
come up to the
up
stage?
Glenn, up your pop,
give him a round
come
of
see us, darling.
I'm presuming he's a him. Are you a him? Are you a him? A him.
It's a him.
A him, not like a churchy song, but
it's
a him.
It's nice to see. I've seen just huge posters of you everywhere.
Oh.
So, yes, look at you.
Good, that's a good thing.
It is fantastic
for me. I mean, not necessarily for other people, if they
no,
hate.
No, I think it's a fabulous thing, but yes.
Don't you think it is a good thing for other people that you don't like?
But it's a constant reminder.
Yes.
Mm. I'm living rent-free on their wall.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, have you set a date? I know you're recently engaged, but have you set a date for the wedding?
No, not yet. We're looking at next year in the winter.
Oh, in the winter?
Yeah,
oh,
you
you're
know going
to be a Christmas bride.
Well, not like a Christmas, because we thought that's quite basic, bitch. But we thought, like... Oh. But also, the weather in the UK is so shit that you can't reliably have a nice sunny day like today. Yep. And so we just thought, well, let's just make sure it's entirely indoors, like this, windowless.
Yep.
Soulless. Yeah, audience-less.
Exactly, yeah. Oh, you know this room has seen a lot of dog shit wedding receptions, don't you?
Well, and shows, yes, yes, absolutely.
Well, I think it would hose a very nice Keighley.
Yeah, possibly.
Do you?
Yeah, you could do the Gay Gordons, I don't you?
Well, I'm sure you could, hence the vaccine. So, and who are you marrying?
I'm marrying a comedy writer called Katie.
A woman?
Yes.
You threw me with basic bitch. Now yeah. I'm interested. Okay. So Katie writes comedy.
Yes, she does.
Do you collaborate together?
No. Well, no. Yeah, we do when sort of pitching stuff and stuff like that, but she writes on sort of panel shows and things like that. So she writes sort of separately for other people.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And what can people expect in the Glenn O'Clock News? What nuggets are you giving them? Is it your take on the world? Is it factual information? Is it fake news? I hope it's fake.
It's specifically fake news.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, I was never really good at talking about real life stuff. I found it made me really sort of panic on stage because I was so certain I was a really boring individual that I was like, well, no one would have any interest in anything about my own personal life. And I just thought, if you make it up, no one judges you. No one knows. No,
so were you a boring child?
Oh, tremendously so. Oh, I think that should be pretty evident. This is my first time wearing shorts. That's how dull we're talking.
And how old are you, 33?
I'm 33, yeah.
My God, that's it's a good taking me all these years. No, some of us do our research.
is it on my press release?
It's a gift of insomnia, yes.
Is that the only selling point I've got?
I'm
no reviews, just he's 33.
He's 33 and in shorts. But a finely turned out leg. I'm enjoying the nautical look. Did you throw this together? Do you have a stylist?
My girlfriend acts, and when I previously had housemates, they would act as stylists only because I'm severely colorblind and I would have to have people choose my clothes for me so I didn't clash.
So what is colorblinding? Is that when you confuse it? Is it blue and green?
It confuses exactly. I think people usually think it's like, oh, you see something that's blue and you go, that's bright orange. And it's like, it's not what it is at all.
No.
It's like you see something like this and I'd be like, right, I've narrowed it down to either blue or purple. I just can't work out. Which.
So it's a bit like colour dyslexia.
Yeah. Kind of, yeah. And it's a bit like when you see someone like Chris Pine and you go, that's either Chris Evans or Chris Pine. No, that's one of... It's that, but with colours.
Are you a pine nut or a cumber bitch?
I'm a cumber bitch.
Are you a cumber bitch?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, I don't like his face.
Oh, no, I don't... No, don't get me wrong. I hate his face.
Oh my God.
However,
I would throw the... Actually, Chris Pine, was he the one in Star Wars?
Star Trek. Yeah.
I have met him.
Really?
Completely by accident in the Soho House in New York many years ago.
Was he nice?
I don't know. I was in blackout and I was told that I met him, so it was nice. I was speaking to a Russian photographer who just had a fight with Naomi Campbell. I think you know where my attention was.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, hello, thank you for playing. Come on, more.
Is that how, do your friends reassure you that you've had a good night out when you've completely blacked out and you wake up the next morning and they go, you met Tom Hanks, he really liked you?
No, I'm not really interested in what people say the next day. I mean, if they give me the information, that's fine, but I don't live by it. Fair. You know. It could be a lie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know.
How are you finding, we're a week in, and how are you finding the festival? Is it exceeding expectations? Is it already breaking you? How's your mental health?
I hate the Edinburgh Fringe.
You hate it?
I hate it so much.
How many have you done?
This is my fifth show.
Oh.
So I did 2016 through to 2019.
Uh-huh.
And then legally couldn't do the last couple of years. And then this is the first time back. And I haven't missed the sort of residual anxiety I had. The moment I stepped off the train, I thought I was going to have a panic attack. As soon as I smelt that sort of hoppy Edinburgh
absolutely coming from Frampton Bridge.
I just immediately started to panic. And the thing is, I'm having a perfectly nice time this year. The audiences have been so nice. I'm having a very pleasant time. Nothing has gone wrong, but I'm just like, right, so when's my heart going to get broken? I'm tense because of that. That's the only reason I dislike it. Other than that, the people are lovely. The atmosphere is great. I just, it's not for me.
No, I understand that.
I love the amount of people that do literally put themselves through Edinburgh. Like it's a kind of,
just get through it. And try and go on holiday afterwards. I mean, that's like a big reward at the end of it.
For something that you're not necessarily that keen on, what do you hope to get out of it? You know, you're putting through this S&M kind of thing for a month. What are you hoping to get out of it?
I think it's good motivation to write a show in the first place. Having a strict deadline where you're like, right, there's going to be people reviewing you. Your show is going to get marked, basically.
Mm.
And it's like your A-levels, but the rest of the country can read your results because they're on the internet. So you go, right, I have to write a show. Because my tour show starts like a week after Edinburgh. This gave me way better motivation to write a show that I was happy with and stuff than if I'd just started in like Reading. Nothing against Reading.
I mean, it's interesting. Do reviews bother you? Do you want them? I've just seen somebody said to me this morning, Fringe Monkey, I've not heard of it, but Fringe Monkey is doing...
Unvaccinated against them.
But just seems to be going to all the shows and just annihilating it for fun.
Who's Fringe Monkey?
It's just a Twitter account. For some reason, it's like hooked up to that list where you can see everyone's reviews, basically.
But so it feels like they deliberately want to find fault. So it's like, so if you've got somebody that you know is coming to the show, whether they enjoy it or not, you know that they're going to go, it was shit.
I think sometimes it's good. Sometimes a review is good when you see it, when you spot, because the thing is, because by the time you come to the Fringe, you've practiced your show so much, it's completely in your head, and you can't step outside of your show and go, what's good about this and what's bad about this? Mm-hmm. And it is actually sometimes really helpful when you read a review, and if it's got one bit and they go, oh, the one bit I didn't like was this, you go, oh, fuck, of course. Mm. Of course I should change it. And that sort of thing is quite useful. But the idea of reviews terrifies me, especially when you think, if it's a big reviewer and you think, more people will read that review than will see my show. So more people in the world will form a judgment on my show based on something they've read, and that's completely out of my hands. It's completely the lack of control element that terrifies me. I'm really scared about that.
But I think as well, though, I mean, we do think that everybody, and people do read it, but then instantly forget it. Do you know what I mean? Well, Chortle's the one with the industry where everybody goes, oh my God, I got a dreadful Chortle review, and everybody goes and reads it. But then you forget. I forget who's that.
Because every day
there's
a new batch of like five reviews. So why would you?
But I do like, I mean, it is my sort of guilty pleasure. I do love reading. In a bad review.
See, that terrifies me even more. I was so happy knowing that people don't really care about the views. JoJo here's fucking reading every single bit.
Oh, I'm scouring.
Forming judgments on comedians
who's
never going to see
live. I'm scouring for the one and two stars.
Are
I'm like,
you?
Oh, yeah, I absolutely love it.
Oh my God, I couldn't be bothered.
It's the same way I love watching people die on stage. Absolutely adore it. Mm.
Do you know what I look forward to? Going home and catching up on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills because I'm a season behind. I like to do something proper with my time, not revel in other people's misery.
No, I don't think it's reveling. I think it's that sense
I think it's for
the grace of God. It's like anything. It's like you'd rather it happen to someone else than happen to yourself.
Yeah, and also, if it ever has happened to you, thank God it's happened to someone else.
Yeah.
It's happened to someone, thank God.
Of course, don't be silly. But the whole thing about reviews is it's one person's point of view, you know, and it's so subjective. And I always think if you get something good out of it, then you've got something to put on a poster. And if it's bad, more net, and then move on.
That's sort of like good reviews are useful and bad reviews don't actually change the world.
No.
They don't at all.
But it is funny that you could go from a whole day of getting, you know, three or four really decent reviews, you'll get one and you'll believe the one that's bad.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
That's all you care about. I really want to start doing to people I don't like, going up to them and going, hey, how you doing? I heard about you. Oh, no, you're not reading reviews, are you?
Oh.
And then just, yeah, that would be a really good thing.
That is
really
brilliant.
Bitchy thing to do, but I'd never have the guts to do to anyone, but I think it would really ruin it.
Oh, I think we should meet for a drink. I'm up for that.
Yeah.
I'll be your wing woman person. It's thing. No, that's fabulous.
Oh, that's nice psychological warfare.
That.
Yeah.
I'd never do that.
Oh, would you, why?
I don't have the guts.
Why?
I couldn't do it. I honestly,
the amount of people that's maybe... a different kind of thing, but the amount of people that go to me, you doing anything during the Fringe? And I'm like, no. And then I, you're not doing your podcast with George? And I'm like, so you know I'm doing a podcast?
Yeah.
Why are you asking? And then someone went, are you doing your wee chat show? And I said, no, and if you want your teeth, I'd move away. Mm-hmm. So, no, I think you should do that. I think that would be good.
I'm just not confrontational. The most confrontational I can be
is like, confrontational.
Right.
You can just slip it in.
That again,
you can just slip it in and go, oh, hi, oh, you're not reading it. Very wise, toodles. And just move on. Move on. See how quick that was?
Yeah, you're very good at the old slipping it in.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's all yours. You use it.
No, I'm definitely.
Now, where are you torturing yourself every day? What room are you doing it?
At the Cabaret Bar in Pleasance Courtyard.
Oh, very nice.
It's a lovely room. It's so, so nice. And the staff are lovely. The room itself is really nice. It's nice to be in a room that... it would convincingly be a comedy club any other night of the year.
Right,
that's nice. That feels nice. I mean, because like the first few years you do the Fringe, especially the first few years I did, you'd be in sort of like a really damp cave or something, and you sort of go, or like, and sometimes even the bigger rooms, you sort of peel back the sort of black sort of stage curtain, there's like a basketball hoop, and you go, wait a second. What? I remember seeing Reginald D. Hunter the first time I came to the Fringe about 12 years ago, just like as a student. And I was like, wow, this is an amazing, they've got so many like stadiums in Edinburgh. And it was like, we were in a swimming pool. But I just didn't realise. They jazz them up so well.
They do jazz them up.
Is the Cabaret Bar, is that the kind of main one as you go in on the left?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I remember doing something for students where I was dressed as Anne Robinson with red pants on my head because I couldn't afford a wig, and did a kind of weakest link thing for charity.
Mm.
I mean, it was pish.
Yes, because the students use it and they run nights in there kind of all year round and stuff. So mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it is. It's a great venue. Although I was hosting this So You Think You're Funny Heats last night, and there were some people in that were performers, and I said, oh, what's the name of your show? I'll give it a plug. And they said, the importance of being earnest. And I said, where are you on Pleasance? And I went, oh, you don't need a fucking plug. Yeah. You must have money. So, yeah, it was a bit mean. Fuck it.
Have you played the Pleasance before?
Yeah, Cabaret Bar last
thing. Ah, right,
yeah.
Okay.
Before that, I was at the Tron for a few years.
And how did you find that?
I loved the Tron.
Right.
Again, like an actual, like, the only thing is, I think, so, I don't think I'm very tall. I'm 6 foot three. Uh-huh. I think that's a normal height.
Yes.
But the room, once you're on the stage, is 6 foot two. And I had to do the show ever so slightly, like,
like,
I just had to lose my neck every day.
Like Claire Balding.
Yeah, and
she seems to have lost her eyes.
And I already look enough like Claire Balding that.
Do you know, actually,
yeah,
there is a similarity. Yeah. Yeah. All you need is a lovely sateen pussy bow blouse. Yeah.
And I just can't stop talking about it.
Because you
horses.
Do have similar kind of layered
exactly
hair.
Exactly the same
hair.
I bring in a photo of her to the hairdressers. Yeah, yeah.
Are you a fan?
Of Claire, but what would I be a fan of? I mean, she's good, she's great, but I'm not.
It was funny. Who was it?
I didn't have posters of her on my wall.
Right. Okay. No. And I think for any young lady growing up, that's quite correct. I know. What was it? Someone said that Les Mis was the life story of Claire Balding, or was it Miserable Les? Which kept me amused for hours, honestly, because it was childish, and I'm not a fan of the lesbians. Sorry if you're listening, but you know me and Fanny
well,
Bangers. We've never got on.
We've discussed this before. No, it's not that I'm not a fan of the lesbians. They don't like me. We've gathered that.
I don't think it's just lesbians that don't like you, Jojo.
No, is there
a
list now?
Market traders. Farmers, Claire Balding fans, that kind of thing. Glenn, what time can we see you at the Pleasance Cabaret Bar?
I'm on at 4 o'clock every day.
4 o'clock?
Yes, yeah, which is a nice time. I thought I was, it's a sort of thing, it's when you tell people who aren't involved in the Fringe that you're on at 4 p.m, they think your career is going really badly.
No, but it's the new 9 o'clock, isn't it? It's the new 8, 9 o'clock, the 4 or 5 o'clock.
Everyone's had maximum one drink. Yeah. They've already seen like one show. They're warmed up, they're good to go. It's nice.
Ah, have you done late night before?
Not that late. Oh, do you know what? Actually, I did the first year I was up at the Fringe. I did three shows. I did one at 1:30 in the afternoon, one at 7, and then at 1:30 in the morning. So 12 hours between the two.
No,
and the 1:30 p.m. one was not.
No.
Trying to fly people on Cowgate at 1:30.
No.
When they
especially
can't breathe.
If you're trying to sell your show at a pick of the Fringe in the evening. Those people, the different people that are out at night that go to shows during the day, so you're marketing to the wrong people.
I always think that people will work towards a midnight show and that would be their cutoff.
Yeah.
I don't think they'd go any further. I did a chat show once at the Stand and it was at 1:30. And I did one of them and said, I can't do that. It was just depressing.
Mm.
Because you had people out of their minds on drugs.
Yeah.
Or people would come in for like a nap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or to touch themselves in the toilets.
Oh, no one did that.
If they hadn't pulled. Yes. No. Yes.
Oh, my days.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well.
But yes, I still think the sort of midday, 1 o'clock in the afternoon stand-up has never really worked. I think it worked 1 year. I think somebody did. Oh, Bridget Christie, I think she did it at midday. And so there was like, oh, that's the time the stand-up works. And it kind of caught fire. And then everybody thought, no, it's a ridiculous idea.
It attracts a very elderly audience.
Yeah.
And I find, from doing an early show a few years ago, that was tough, having an elderly audience. Because the next year,
I remember
turnover was higher than I would have liked.
Yeah, I remember doing an early show at the Stand in Stand 2, and there was people, and it was all stairs to get up there, so I don't know how they got the electric wheelchairs up, but they managed. I don't know if there was a ramp or whatever.
There's a Stena thing.
Oh, there's a Stena thing, right? And these people were able to release themselves, and they were just moving around like, you know, I don't know, whatever else. And they were eating crisps, and I spent the whole time running after people in a cylindrical room and electric wheelchairs, confiscating McCoys, going, you're making too much noise. I don't mind if you have to zip about, you know, if you're bored, that's fair enough, but we need silence.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's not for everyone performing in the afternoon.
No, but 4 p.m.
But it
is
works
nice.
For you.
It works for me, and if anyone wants to pop in and watch the show, or, as you said, have a wank, it's
Oh, I didn't say that. I said touch themselves in toilets. I'm aware my family listened to this, but thank you. It's been lovely to speak to you, Claire.
You too.
Can we have a round of applause? Thank you, my darling.
You.
Good luck with the show.
Yes, try not to self-harm.
Because you're an afternoon person, aren't you? What time's your offering on?
I'm at 4:45. Everybody at the Sportsman's.
Right,
so
okay.
They have the heating on the day before yesterday, which made everybody pass out. Because my show is growing old disgracefully, it is very much the same, gathering a more mature crowd.
A mature audience. But is that what you're playing to? Is that what you want to play to?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes, inspire them all to leave their husbands.
Oh, right. Okay, well, that's nice. Jamie, are you ready? Are you okay? Are you good? Is my microphone working? Yes?
Yes, absolutely.
Can we have a round of applause for our next...
What's going on?
Oh, there we go.
What's happened to me? Oh,
the cost of living crisis, honestly. Right, can we have a round of applause for our next guest? Come along. Hello, dear.
Maybe it's on a battery power or something. How lovely to see you. Are you well?
No, I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
Are you coping with this heat? Because I'm already passing out and dehydrated.
Yeah, I can't take the heat at all, honestly.
I've never learned how to dress for the weather because I always... Well, this is not summer attire.
I would say is, though, and I'm sure she has managed to team her socks to her blouse.
Yes.
Which not many people do, but I'm here for it.
Are you approving?
Yeah,
I've done that a little bit.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I mean, it was purely accidental.
Yeah, I've teamed my wrists with my ankles. That's what I've done. Oh, that's good. Was this a deliberate...
No, it wasn't actually, but yeah. Thanks. I wouldn't have noticed that.
No, I'm up for it. I think that's good. I'd get that on your Instagrams. So you've started something.
Yes, we should. Yeah, matching socks. Although there's a thing that with non-matching socks, isn't there? Odd socks for Down Syndrome Day. That's what it is.
Oh, right. Like jeans for jeans?
Yes.
Right. Okay. Odd socks. Oh, I didn't know that. Do you like a trainer sock?
I do, actually, from time to time.
Yeah. Just depending on your mood.
Yeah.
If you're feeling a bit flirty and fancy. Yeah. Going out with your ankles to the sun.
I do have to check that people are wearing trainer socks. I get really pranged out if people aren't wearing socks at all. Do you know what I mean?
It's unforgivable and I think it's unsafe because you get all sort of rubbing your heels and I can't abide people.
So you're not
a
fan of a slimline chino that comes to the ankle and a loafer and a nude foot?
No, I don't like it. There's got to be a sock there.
Really?
Mm. Yeah.
Even if it's one of those tiny, tiny, almost like a lady's pop sock things.
Well, I want to just be able to see a little bit of sock. Do you know what I mean?
You just want to see a little.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not a full song.
No.
Almost sounds a kind of fetish.
Yeah, it does actually, yeah.
Would you ever go up to someone and say, are you wearing socks? Because I feel very uncomfortable.
If I knew him, I would call my mates out if they weren't wearing socks, I think.
Do you hang with any of the loafer crew that like a nude foot?
Occasionally, yeah.
It's a bit much, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is a look that's never taken off, but people will persist with it.
Yeah. Well, they do, particularly if they take them off and there's an odour eater in the shoe.
Or if
they
can just odour.
Crumble. Well, that's the thing.
Because the socks must soak up the odour.
I think
how the fuck have we got onto this?
Do you spray your feet?
Do I what?
Do you spray your feet?
No, should I?
Yeah.
Mm.
I'm not saying they smell or anything, but I mean, it's something to think about. I think it's a good thing.
Am I the only person who doesn't? You don't.
Just a straw poll, do you spray your feet? Good, yes.
Really? That's why they're sitting so far away from these guys.
But these two ladies were trying to get it on in a communal bathroom earlier. I had to pull them out.
I moisturise my feet probably more than I moisturise my face.
Well, I would love if I saw more of your feet. So what kind of moisturiser did you put on?
Foot balm.
Foot balm, that's nice.
And then I stick my feet in those little shoes that have got moisturiser in them. And they all slide about, and it's nice.
Do you know what? I think we're going to move on from feet because I think we're off topic.
Yeah.
I think we are.
How are you enjoying Edinburgh, whether you have feet or not? Have you ever considered removing your feet and having them replaced with casters?
That's not a bad shout.
I know, I was thinking about that the other day. I thought, I can't walk anymore. Yeah. I know I should be grateful I still can walk after everything I've been through. But I just thought, by God, the freedom just to be pushed and hurled.
Yeah.
Yeah, would you?
I would. Maybe we should do it together.
I'm up for that.
After this.
Although I've already, because you're at the Pleasance, because I can see from around your neck, casters would not work on those cobbles, dear.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, I never thought about that. What time are you on?
I'm on at 7:10.
Right, and how do you find that 3 hours after Claire Balding? Do you get a lot of her fans that can't get in to see her?
Yeah, massive crossover, yeah. No, it's been fun so far, actually. The shows have been good.
Uh-huh.
It's been fun.
What's it all about? Tell us what it's all about.
It's all about being a teenager at school, right? And it's all about my first crush. And I started to impress her. I started a really bad emo band with all of my friends. And it's kind of playing clips from the band and stuff like that. And just basically reveling in how awful we were, basically.
And I don't want to spoil, but did it work?
Did it work? That's a bit of a spoiler to be honest.
I thought I might just be digging yes.
But yeah. No, but... Yeah, and just generally just talking about being like an awkward, weird little boy at school as well, which I definitely was.
Were you? Were you a bit of a geek?
Proper geek, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, proper weirdo.
But you'd mentioned Chortle earlier. Did you not win a Chortle comedy competition? Was
no.
it a Chortle one? No. Was it another one?
I got to the semi-final.
A semi-final of a Chortle one?
Yeah.
So I was right with fucking Chortle. Don't you judge me. For goodness sake, a semi-final. I mean, that's better than winning, actually.
Yeah.
You don't have the pressure of carrying around the Chortle brand.
Actually, we were talking about this last night. The people that have gone on to have really huge success in comedy, like the Millikans and the Bridges and all that kind of stuff, Rod Gilbert's, they didn't ever win at those competitions. Mm. They were runner-ups.
That's why I decided not to win.
Yeah,
that's, although I also didn't become runner-up. So
no, I think yeah, you don't want to win them because they're bad for your career.
No, I think you do want. I think if you're going to enter into a competition, you want to win the competition. My God, I have a friend who entered a competition. She's still talking about it 20 years later. I won't name her, Michelle McManus. It's so boring. It's so unbelievably boring. Could you imagine? I mean, it's bad enough. It's bad enough that she won the competition. Can you imagine if she didn't win the competition? Good. I have no career because I didn't win the competition.
Yeah.
I have no career because I won the competition. It's bizarre.
Yeah, comedy competitions. I've never met a single comedian who doesn't have this story where they'll be like, yeah, I was in the semi-final of a comedy competition and I like objectively got more laughs than anyone else and I still didn't get through. And that story has never been interesting to hear from anyone.
Never.
But I don't know anyone who doesn't have that story.
It's like anything. If you go enter a competition, you do really well, then competitions are great things. If you enter one, you go badly, you just think, oh, they're a crock of shit. They
well, yeah.
Nothing.
Sounds a bit like reviews.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Hey,
no, yeah. Okay. Have you entered a competition?
I did. I've been the British Comedian of the Year, didn't I? Last year?
Right.
Got to the final. Didn't win.
Congrats. Well, all the best ones.
Thank
exactly.
you, yeah.
Didn't win. So when's your arena tour?
I absolutely died in my arse. It was a thing of beauty.
Oh,
so,
nice.
Yeah, it was, yeah. To do that, if you're going to have a bad gig, and, you know, the longer you do this career, the less often it happens, mm-hmm. really. But it does still, every now and again, one comes and absolutely bites you on the arse. But you hope that it'll just be in some little room above a pub somewhere. No, I decided to have a honker of a gig at the Comedy Store in London in front of however many hundreds of people in industry. Nailed it.
Was it really that bad? Because I remember you phoning the next day and you said, oh, that's bad.
It was.
I said, oh, I'm sure
I'll tell you how bad it was.
I was washing my trainer socks.
I'll tell you how bad it was. A friend of mine was so convinced I would get to the final. Listen, I love her. She'd bought a ticket to the final before I'd even got through to the semi-final. So she loves me.
Faith.
So she came down and she was there, and it did not go well. And she was, you know, she didn't go, oh, never mind. But we got the train back the next day, and there was a couple of people got on the train, a couple of women, and I'd started chatting to them, and they were roaring, laughing, blah, blah, blah. And my friend Kathy went, oh, now you've decided to be funny.
Oh.
Just talking to a couple of women on the train. Oh, I went, all right, yeah, fuck
How
off.
Do you feel when you've got friends in watching? Do you encourage that?
No, I don't.
No.
I don't know if I'm just a weird, but I don't like having anyone I know in the audience.
No, it's
just,
too much pressure.
Yeah. And also they know, you know, they know what's true. They know what's exaggerated, what's a lie.
Yeah.
You know, I just like a room full of strangers. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, the admiration of strangers. We don't want anything from the people that actually love us.
No, but it's like when people want to come to gigs and you think, oh, I don't want to babysit you. Like, go away.
Yeah.
Because they're like, where's the bar? And it's like, oh, it's over there. You're now blind. Like, I hate you.
It is quite selfish. I'm exactly the same. You know, if people sort of meet you before a gig
I'm
or
so
after.
Sorry.
Oh,
that is so
oh my
bad.
God.
I think
it's Claire Balding. It's Chortle. You did
answer
win.
It.
I'm in the final wildcard.
Oh, brilliant.
Sorry.
I think that has been our first phone call on the podcast.
You know,
you should have answered it.
It was silent, but that was actually an alarm. So it kind of.
Oh.
And I'm really sorry about that.
Don't apologise. No, we like things going wrong.
Right.
Well, like our careers.
Right. Yeah.
Are you still enthusiastic? Are you still passionate about your career? Or are you somewhat jaded?
I am a bit jaded, I think, but I do enjoy it. Like, I really like comedy, but I just like doing the things that I want to do, if that makes sense. I just don't really do gigs that are like, do you know what I mean? Like,
the ones that you have to go and schlep however many hundreds of miles for 50 quid.
I don't mind travelling, and I don't mind that, but like, you know, like promoting myself and stuff. I'm really bad. I shouldn't really say that, I guess.
No, but I think we all are. I absolutely hate it. It drives Bruce mad. I hate asking for anything. I hate sort of...
It's funny because she's just agreed with her friend who's a semi-promoter in London to help promote their acts up here when she should be promoting us.
What have I done?
Oh my God, you've not followed the conversation again.
No, I know.
Honestly, I'm saying that you were helping Julia out, promoting people, but you won't promote this.
I know.
Yeah, nice.
I'm useless at it. I'm absolutely useless at it. But.
Can I ask, did you say you were emceeing So You Think You're Funny yesterday? How was that?
It was all right, actually, because, do you know what I mean? These people are quite it's a competition for new acts, and they could, you know, do 7 minutes or something. Yeah. So there was eight of them, and that way before, you kind of, it's a bit like doing the Red Roar, the new act nights in any of the clubs and stuff, you kind of go, all right, you know, what happens if one of them absolutely bombs? I'll have to do a bit and tidy up. I remember a Red Roar where somebody had stunk the room out, and I just grabbed the mop from the back cupboard and went back on stage and went, well, just have a little mop up here. But they were all, I mean, they weren't brilliant, but who is in their first 7 minutes? But you know, there was a couple of really good standout ones.
Nice.
And a chap called Ben Pollard went through to the finals.
Great. Yeah.
Is he related to
Sue?
No.
Oh, well, actually, I don't know.
You don't ask him. You won't know who Sue is. How old are you?
I'm 27.
No, that's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. That's offensive.
No, I remember I met Sue Pollard. Do you know who Sue Pollard is?
Heidi, hi.
She's an actress. And I remember she came up to me, hello, love, do you want a photo taken with me? I went, no, and I don't want you spitting on me either. Fuck off. So that was me and Sue Pollard. She carries a party popper around with her at all times.
Does she?
Really?
Yeah, I know. Could you imagine that in your social circle? You'd stab them. You would. You'd be like that right in the face. Shut up.
Has she ever let off the party popper?
Yeah, she does, because she sees life as a celebration. Do you know who this woman is? You must Google. She is crazy.
Okay.
When Big Brother was on, she was always on Big Brother's bit on the side. And she's one of these women that likes to wear all of her clothes at once. So she'll have like ski pants and a fur coat and then, you know, squirrels and caravans coming out of her hair as some kind of fascinator. I mean, don't get me wrong. She's a British icon. And she's crazy. She was in a holiday camp sitcom many years ago playing a chambermaid. And I don't think she ever got over the fact it was taken off the air.
Yeah, no, absolutely. She hasn't ever done any of those sort of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Fear or those kind of...
I think because she's in agreement to do them before they're even conceived. They're like, even that's a bit desperate, you know. She's a couple of rungs down from Christopher Biggins, because Christopher Biggins is normally there before you have an idea of what's going on.
Absolutely. Would you do any of those kind of Strictly Come Dancing or Have I Got News?
Yes, you would.
Celebrity Get Me Out of There.
I wouldn't do Strictly.
Why? Because
I can't dance.
Well, Kay Adams is doing it. Yes. I don't think she can dance. She's a very good friend of mine.
I did say to Kay Adams, was she going to be as bad as Judy Murray? And she said she thought she might be.
Oh, really? Well, proud Judy day Murray for Scotland.
I'm a celebrity. I mean, I've not been asked, but I would do that. Obviously, I've not been asked. Do you know, I did get asked to go on Celebrity Eating With My Ex. And I was well keen for that.
Oh, wow.
And I messaged my ex and she went, you're not a celebrity. So that was sort of the end of that. But that would have been fun.
But you would have been a celebrity after that. Because you've wanted to go on one of those piece of shit shows.
Yeah.
And you could be opening Lidl's all over the country.
Yeah. Well, do you know what? The idea that we had was me and my friend Katie, who's also a comedian, we were going to go on it and we would just say the
pretend
we were a couple.
Right, okay.
So we could just say the most horrible stuff to each other. So live on the show, we'd just be like, why did you sleep with my mum? She'd be like, why did you kill my dog?
You should do that.
We
go back,
do that.
Get back to them and just make it up.
Is it Andrew Maxwell that does the voiceover for that? I think it is.
Might be,
is it?
Yeah.
Because Andrew Maxwell did Jungle, didn't he? Is that Andrew?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a bit creepy. A man in his late 40s is doing a voiceover for under 30s and dates. Because I saw, are you a Drag Race fan?
No,
you should be. You're really missing out.
Yeah.
Tia Coffey was on that, just making a holy show of herself. She really needs to stop. But those are just my thoughts. What time are you on?
7:10.
7:10.
Pleasance Below.
Right. And the show is called?
It's called Stop Drawing Willies on My Poster.
Now,
which is
I wanted to draw
drawing.
A cock
you
on your one. Are people drawing penises?
Well, do you know what? It's actually a bit embarrassing. There's been a bit of a a fuck up. Uh-huh. And I don't know whose fault it is, but basically, I think someone has forgotten to put any posters up. So.
Oh, no. Yeah, it's all linked to the title of the show.
I know.
Who's
I
your
know.
Management? Is it PGB?
PBJ.
I'm going to get you new management.
Yeah.
There is a woman that's desperate to take you on. Her name's Sue Pollard. And she has... So they've not put your posters up.
Well, apparently they're coming up later the week.
Oh, for God's sake.
That's no good. You've been on a week, haven't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Oh, no, this is outrageous.
We did pay for them as well. You know, it's expensive. Well,
they yeah. are
it
expensive.
It's expensive.
Yeah. I keep seeing my posters, and every time I see it, people can say to me, oh, your posters are everywhere, and I should be delighted, but I just go, it must not fucking cost me.
Yeah.
Is well, it very expensive?
I had no idea, I didn't ask. Which is very irresponsible.
Were you able to get a partial refund for the time that they're not there?
We'll have to see. I certainly hope so.
When was the year that, who was it that was... The penis stickers, and they were everywhere and they were in people's mouths and people going around and sticking the it was a cunt in the gang, I think it was him, and it was a cam, they just went around all the posters and all the management were going absolutely
really?
Batshit crazy because it just like they're massive posters and then somebody's just stuck one into yeah, yeah. someone's mouth. It was absolutely brilliant. Amused me.
Well, yeah. clearly, yeah. yeah. It's sad, though.
Defacing.
But that's the thing. That kind of thing still amuses me. Why did you call it that?
Well, I guess...
Have you had experience of this?
Yeah, well, the picture of me is like... It's me like that on the poster. So it's right. like you could just draw a willy on it quite easy. But also, like... Because the show is just about being a teenager. And I feel like drawing willies was like 90% of me as a teenager.
Yeah, because yeah. there used to be that thing of spunking cocks as well,
yes.
wasn't there?
Yes.
Which was just some kind of carrot-shaped thing and some dashes.
I bet if there was a study done into, you know, people at school, their jotters or whatever they're called, I think every single jotter would have a spunking cock
yeah.
somewhere. Somewhere on the cover.
I remember yes. having a modern studies folder defiled. And it was an old woman. Oh, it was obscene. And the thing was, they thought it was me. They thought I'd done it for attention. And I hadn't. And they sent my mum the folder. And I remember coming in, she went, look at this filth. And I went, I didn't touch it. You did, you're a dirty bugger. And sent me to bed.
That's so funny. We did the best one. Well, you know, normally you just draw the willy. Once we did it on my mate's sort of homework book or whatever, we got one of the knives from deep, like, woodwork and we cut it all the way through the 100 pages. So it was like a book and it had sorry, I sound about 14 right now. I'm still so proud of it. A knob in it, and then the really strict teacher once went to put a bad comment in his book. She picked up the book, and you could just see her annoyed face looking through like a cutout of a
outline.
Knob. Yeah, and even she was trying not to laugh. It was so good.
I mean, it is one of those things. It is eternally amusing, isn't
well,
it?
So funny.
It is.
It's I tell like you what, I'm going to do. I'm going to buy a marker today
Please.
After the vaccine. I'm going to do you, and when I see you, I'll do you, and I'll let you know.
Yeah, that would be lovely. Yeah.
yeah, but that's the whole point of you being here.
Well, that's, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I would absolutely fucking kill you if you put a cock on my poster.
I'm so doing it. Feel free to come with me, ladies. Thank you very much for joining us. Can we have a round of applause?
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you,
why
Jamie.
Why would you be upset? Thanks, man. See you.
Thanks, Jim. Why would I be upset? Why wouldn't I be upset, Bruce?
For God's sake.
You're building my reputation unfairly.
Forgiveness.
For being a fan of cock.
Well, you do like it, but we'll move on.
Yes.
We'll move on.
Right.
Shall we have our final guest?
Yes, shall we?
Shall we?
Yes.
Yes, welcome.
The lovely Lily.
Where
Get
is
your
Lily?
Ass up here, Lily.
Oh,
Phillips.
Come this way, Lily. No one else has.
Yeah.
Lovely. Don't come have a round of applause.
Hey.
Oh, Lily, Lily, Lily.
Coming in from a different direction. Hello, my darlings.
And to think the first words we uttered was, is this a bin? Lily was trying to get rid of a chewing gum. She looked in a bin. She says, is this a bin? I went, it's a bin. And then the lovely tech got a bin liner and you spat in that, didn't you?
Yes. And everyone was turned on.
Good. Very yeah. turned on. Mm. Very, very turned on. How are you?
I'm good.
Are you fatigued? That seemed to be a bit of a sigh.
I'm loving your watch. It's matching your lanyard. Oh my God,
you've gone sock to blouse, she's gone watch nails lanyard, I'm doing ankles and wrists.
But my nails have gone really disgusting, so actually don't look at them. I'm glad this is a podcast. Because I got like natural with a little dot in it, because I thought that was cool. And then the ends of them, because I've been using my hands like we do, have gone like brown and dirty.
Do you know where you should go? Harvey Nichols, because you can get a manicure and a glass of champagne for 25 quid.
My friend bought me that for my birthday. Yeah. It's lovely.
You sit they do gels?
They do gels, they do everything. You sit there.
Oh, shellac gels.
For 25 quid?
Yeah, that's the most basic one. I mean, you can go...
Look
into it.
Yeah, I'll be gone after this. What time do we finish?
Well, now, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Enjoy that manicure. Now, I was disappointed because I was reading up on you and you were going to do a show about feminism. Because obviously no one talks about it enough. But you've decided to do it about your dog. But you've not brought the dog.
No.
That lovely dog.
I know. This is no place for her, though.
What kind of dog do you have?
Cocker Spaniel.
Oh, she's gorgeous.
My daughter has a Cocker Spaniel.
Oh, my God. They're the best.
I think you find jack-a-doodles are. That's what I have. But anyway, we'll move on.
Where's your dog?
My dog is with her nanny.
Good question, Lily. Absolutely.
She's with her nanny. She's having a trundle along the promenade in a pram with shelter.
Does she actually have a pram?
Yeah, well, she's 16 and a half, so she thinks she can walk for hours, but she can't, just because it takes it. She could, but it would take ages. So now she goes in the pram, and it's got one of those things, so it's fabulous.
Oh, my God, I love those things. I saw a woman with one today trying to get a dog in it, and I was thinking, what if it's not like this really sweet image of her getting her dog in a little pram, and she's just stealing dogs?
Maybe, but you have to worry about, particularly in the heat, the pads on the concrete and all that kind of stuff. Because it can burn them.
Okay.
But your dog's in Wales.
She's in Wales, so
with the in-laws.
No worry about getting burned.
And did I overhear you saying you're staying with your mother-in-law whilst you're here?
She is. Dog is in Wales
with
Thomas's mum.
So that suggests you're married.
Yeah, but that isn't true. I just say that because it's difficult to be like, oh, my boyfriend's mum. Yeah. Actually, it's not that difficult. I just said it. But
yeah, it is quite easy.
But we've been together like 8 years. So it kind of feels like a marriage in all the other ways except the actual marriage.
Do you think you would do the actual marriage?
Not really.
No, but you've got a dog. What do
you
need to get
married?
Yeah,
we've got a commitment.
In fact, I think that's more of a commitment, a dog, than an actual marriage
certificate. It is, because we do talk about it. Like, if we did break up, we're like, we will literally fight to the death of who gets the dog.
But
it will get nasty.
The dog always stays with the mother.
Does it?
Yeah, I speak from experience.
But she's a bitch, and they like men better, apparently.
But I'm a hybrid. So I got, because when I split up with my ex, my dog was going off her head, right? And I thought, what is the most sane, rational thing for a homo to do? Got a dog psychologist. So the dog psychologist came in. I was all hopped up on the Harvey Nichols Prosecco going, she's screaming, I don't understand why, mummy's very tired. And she went, even not meeting your ex-partner, I can tell that you're the preferred caregiver. So I don't think it's necessarily to do with gender. I think it's to do with... But the funny thing is, we always said I was her mum. For whatever reason, I don't know. I think because I knew I would never have children easily, because my insides are all wrong, that I was always going to be the dog's mum. So that's why I always say in divorces, the dog stays with the mum.
Okay. Yeah. Or just ask the dog.
Yes. Well, ask the dog.
Let them decide.
My God. It was like... there was a psychic pig on Lorraine Kelly that predicted that Boris was going to resign.
Right. Then there was the octopus that was predicting the Wimbledon championships. And
then there's been other things predicted by asparagus.
Yes.
You know, like the runes.
Because we all live in a very sane world.
Well, they said dogs can sniff COVID, didn't they?
Well, they can also sniff cancer and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I had a situation with that because the dog... when I'd had a shower once, and I shower naked, sue me. And the dog came up to me afterwards, and she looked at my boob and sniffed it, and then licked my nipple.
And was there anything?
And have you got breast cancer?
Well, that was my first thought was like, oh my God, I'm going to have to put her down. Like, this is traumatic for both of us. No
sexually
one should remember this.
Sexually assaulted by a dog.
Yeah, it was horrible. But then I remembered that they can smell cancer.
Yes,
and I was like, oh my God, I'm going to have to go to the doctors. And they'll be like, why? Why do you
Why
think
you here? You have cancer because my dog licked my nipple.
But there was nothing.
No, it's fine.
Maybe she's just a bisexual.
Yeah. Or just fully...
Well, you never know.
Fully gay, yeah.
But no, that's... Well, I always get slightly nervous with my cats because cats do that as well. If they smell terminal illness, they won't leave you alone.
Oh, really?
But thankfully, my cats keep the fuck away from me.
They have a rough tongue, don't they?
They do have a rough tongue.
They have a rough tongue.
Weirdly, my cat does like, when I get out of the bath, she does like to lick my feet, and I let her.
Really? Is that why you have to cream them so much? Because she's licking the skin off them.
Well, when I was
the sandpaper tongue.
I would have my bath on a Sunday ahead of going to school. I would lie down with my head on a poofy. That's not a euphemism. That's what we call a footstool in Scotland. And the cat would lick my hair dry, and I loved it.
Oh.
Yeah. Jess?
My cat licks my earlobe.
Oh, low
Gives
alert.
It a good suck, yeah.
Now, do you deal with any of these animals touching you in the show?
No. I don't
you
talk about my cat yet because I do this whole bit about my dog, so I'll just do this show about
and
that.
You and you don't tell your audiences about your dog licking your tit? That's brilliant.
No.
Well, that's a great story.
I know, but it's about cancer and people don't like that.
No. They're very touchy.
You're talking about cancer in the show?
No. If I told that story, I would have to say about... That thinking that I had breast cancer.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
then it would be fine if you did, but they get really pissed off if you don't
They'd
have it.
They'd love it if at the end I was like, I'm a survivor. Yeah, and I'm like,
yeah, I wouldn't contract it for the sake of the run.
Yeah, No.
I
don't think so.
No.
So also, the show's called Smut, so.
What, and is there smut in it?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I think I've really nailed the branding of it because I'm just getting the right people in my audience.
Really?
Which is, at the Pleasant, sometimes that doesn't work. And I would have got a load of quite uptight people, maybe. But I'm not. I'm just getting a room full of people that are just totally up for it.
A bit slaggy.
Yeah, a bit fucking slaggy. Nice. That's what I want.
Room what full time of slags. Do you want to be slaggy?
7:25.
That's quite a slag heap time, isn't it?
Yeah. That's a nice time.
Do you know something? Yeah. That's when a slag's just coming to from being a slag all day.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, I'll have a horse bath. I'll just, you know, minge, face, get out, and then see some smut.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah. It's great. It's great. I love it.
How many festivals have you done?
So this is my debut hour.
Because you are relatively new, aren't you, in terms of
comedy? I've been going 5 years.
Yeah. So yes, it's like dog years. That's baby. You're a baby in comedy, really.
Yeah, it is baby. But I did cabaret before I did stand-up.
Oh.
So I actually have done The Fringe for quite a few years.
What did you do as a cabaret artist?
I had a show called The Ruby Darlings.
All right.
With another, because I trained as a dancer originally, so I did a show with another dancer that I trained with. Mm-hmm. And then we got together with this pianist and we started writing songs about vaginas. I'm still doing the same thing now, but in stand-up form.
Okay, so still quite vag-based.
But I'm not singing. We had loads of like costume changes and stuff. It was a lot of effort. Shoes.
Cabaret is, because I used to MC a lot of cabaret gigs, and I'm glad that I don't because a lot of the performers smell. Have you done compilation shows, you know, where their tights and their gussets are just honking?
Yeah, because we used to flyer on our outfits as well. So all day, just like sweaty badges.
Honking.
Mm. Yeah, it was awful. We used to be at the Voodoo Rooms.
With Julianne Laidlaw.
Who's that?
Blonde girl that's the producer there.
Oh, no. Mr. Meredith used to always book us.
Okay. Don't know Meredith.
Do you ever still drop into the writers' group when we were doing lockdown?
Oh, yeah.
Daisy Earle set up, I think, more of a self-help group or something, really, wasn't it? It was just to stop us all going mad.
Yeah.
Set up a writers' group and we used to dip in and out. And I used to love doing it, but then every time I think, oh, I can't be bothered, and then I'd do it. But I don't go on it anymore. Do you?
Yeah,
ever pop
I
in?
Stopped when gigs started again.
That was my thing.
Was so great for what it was in the time. Like it did literally keep me sane, and you could try out material in front of other comedians and meet loads of other comedians that you might not, because obviously it was online. So we were all
around
from all
country.
Parts of the UK. Yeah. And it was really great. But then as soon as gigs started again, I just was like, I'll just do a gig.
Yeah.
Just do a gig.
Do you still find, as women, because I'm only half a woman, I can't speak fully, but do you still find that you're never really on with more than one woman on a bill? Is that still...
It's vastly improved. I mean, because it was just never, Never, ever. I mean, it was very unusual to have any women on a bill. So if you were on the bill, it was only ever just you. Mm-hmm. Now, I find it more women than men sometimes. So I don't know how you find it. But I'm coming from a different generation, so I see a marked improvement. But that's not necessarily if you're coming into the industry now that you feel that you're represented
well
enough. Yeah,
my standards are different, I think. Yeah, and I think London is really good. Like, they have really diverse acts all the time, I feel. And then when I go outside of London, it's a bit less. But I do think it's much better. And I'm getting loads of female MCs all the time. But I do feel immediately more comfortable. Like, because if you do end up the only woman on the bill, there's not that anything's going on or anything like that, but just having another woman there, I just gravitate to her.
Yeah.
And I want to talk to her about her experience in comedy and get advice from her, and I just feel...
It's interesting because obviously we continue to have the thing about certain comics, whoever they may be, being inappropriate toward females, saying, you know, things that would make them feel uncomfortable. My only experience of that is because I happen to be gay, although I do hide it very well, and thank you for noticing. But that and being an MC with a lot of straight guys, you're worse than shit on their shoe.
Man.
I remember being at Highlight in Edinburgh many years ago, and the guy who shall remain nameless because I refused to publicise him because he's a dick, just looked me up and down and didn't say hello, spoke to everyone else, and I thought, okay, that's fine. It was a room full of stags. They loved me. Why wouldn't they? Mm. And came out, and he just kind of lit, and he came up and went, "Hi, I'm," and I went, "I'm not interested."
Mm.
And that was for the whole weekend. And he tried to speak to me at the end, and I went, "Seriously, I know that you have children. Imagine an adult speaking to one of your children like that. And he went, "Oh, I get it." And I thought, "You fucking don't. I've just called you out on it."
Yeah.
But that happens a lot. I remember there was a guy, and I will name him because he is a dick, Colin Cole, who is this pterodactyl brontosaurus type thing from Australia. And he was like, "Struth, don't watch my act. I'm homophobic." I went, "I'm not listening to any of your fucking shite. Just don't run over. Don't care if you're a homophobe. You're disgusting."
Yeah.
And he was trying to pump people. I mean, he must have been 700 years old. He made Sean Connery look like Kate Moss. And he was trying to fuck people in Nottingham. It was disgusting.
Yes, he would always stay behind at those nightclub gigs and things.
And you just really? Say, "Why are you like that?"
Oh, God. And was he emceeing?
No, I was.
Oh, okay.
That's why I wasn't to watch his act, which I wouldn't do anyway.
No.
Largely because I'm not interested.
Well, because I the gall of somebody to say I'm homophobic, which
well,
he was.
I admired the honesty. What were you saying?
Oh, no, just the role of the MC, I just think it's really important. If someone is not quite, you know, you feel a bit... like they're not going to be 100% behind you.
Mm.
But
it can really fuck up your... Oh. I've had MCs go on and be like I'm opening at the Glee or something, and they'll go on and be like, okay, we've got a first act, you know, if you don't like it, you know, don't, you know, just laugh, set me up for failure.
Wow.
And I'm like, mate, I'm opening, like, I've been booked to open because I'm not shit, like, I'll be good, I know where I am, I'll deal with it, but if you do that at the beginning, you've made me have to work so much harder to get them on my side, because you're the MC, you're controlling this night.
But that's the thing, because you are there as kind of, you know, schoolmaster, social worker, you know, you are there so that you give everyone a chance of shining at their best. And I remember it was Jenny Godley who said this to me years ago. She went, "Why did you introduce me as a woman? You don't introduce them as a man." And I never thought about it. I just say the next act.
Yeah.
And funnily enough, with the whole sort of thing around surrounding they, them, I never put a gender on who. I always say this next act, you know, you're going to love them. I never say,
what name?
Male or female. Because precisely that, I remember Jonglers years ago, I wasn't even introduced and somebody was like, it's a woman. But I remember going on at the stand, the fabulous Georgia, this next act, I love her or something. And I just heard someone, it's a woman. They just go, whoa.
Yeah.
Although I did get introduced last night, welcome to the Stand Comedy Club's Best of Scottish Comedy. Welcome your host for the evening. It's Ms. Bruce Devlin. And when I went on, everyone was kind of looking at it. I was like, oh, fucking hell. Come on, man. It's a joke. Relax. But no, completely. I would never identify. It's always just the name and has been for years.
Yeah.
But I never thought about that before. And obviously, I'm as feminist as the next person. But it's amazing the way that just some guys can be so arrogant to think, you know, try. It was like what you were saying about, and who was on that were going on about practice round of applause.
Oh,
and
God.
You have to remind the audience to clap or whatever. You know, the evening has to find its rhythm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, people don't need to be reminded. They don't need to know folks' gender or all this kind of
and
stuff.
And don't treat audiences like toddlers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. They know they've come to a comedy night. Up, yeah. They've booked a ticket and they're sat there.
And you're
they
right,
know what
you're
it
booked
is.
For a reason, because you can do your job because you're funny. So yeah. It's a bit like to the MC, you know, don't worry, love, just get me on. I'll show you what I can do.
Just fucking say my name and I'll do it. Like,
yeah. Absolutely.
But yes, it is that patronising. You know, oh, and if you don't laugh, well, why wouldn't you laugh? You've come to a comedy club. That's our job, is to make you laugh.
Yeah, you've set their brains into that negative headspace that they're probably already going to have as soon as they see you because you're a woman. And then, you know, obviously you get that from audience members afterwards who were like, oh, I don't normally like women. And
Oh, do you know what I get as an MC?
That would happen so much.
It oh my God, all I get is, have you thought about giving it a go yourself? I think you'd be really
as
good.
Yes, an MC, that's...
Yeah. So it's nice.
It is nice.
It's nice because they're trying to help. They're trying to help. Or they go, do you want this joke? I'll have to charge you. I'm like, I'm not buying anything. Fuck off. Or, do you know Kevin Bridges? I'm like, no, actually. Yeah, he bummed me. I hate him.
You can use this in your little skit.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Someone has booked tickets for this. I've booked tickets for your show, little daytime show. I won't cancel them. Please cancel them.
Yeah, they don't realise it's a job. I don't know.
No.
I was at a gig once and it was on the Jubilee weekend and I was making a joke about it and then this woman shouted out and she was like, yeah, well, some of us had to work in the Jubilee weekend. And it was the Jubilee weekend and I was on stage working and she was watching me and none of it clicked in her brain. I was like,
it's shocking.
Oh, that's
shocking. Yeah.
Because people don't see this. I was on with a very bitter Scottish comic who won't listen to this. And he went, so how's life with you? I went, yeah, fine. What are you doing out with comedy? And I went, nothing. I'm not like you. I don't have a full-time job. And he hated that. And I thought, don't bring me down. You know, don't attack me. And I'm sorry you've had to go back to work, but then maybe you shouldn't have had 4 children.
Guess who? Don't sue.
Well, exactly. But no, it's amazing the way that people think they can just speak to you like a piece of shit.
Yeah. You know, just be audience. Nice. That's what I'll say to any new comic. Just be nice.
Be nice.
But, you know, be polite. And also, can I just say, be funny. Like, you have to. Yes. I'm really tired of hearing it. But they work in an arts centre. They're not working tonight. I never want to see them again. But, you know, that's the thing. I think it is Kevin Bridges that says that. If you're not funny, you're fucked.
Yes.
As a comedian, which is really true.
Because you can't skip the stages. I think some people think that they can. Yeah, there isn't. And you'll see it now. Because I've just started really going around the UK and I hadn't really before. I'd been quite London centric. Mm. And it's been a baptism of fire.
Oh,
but it's been so good. I've improved more in the last 6 months of doing that than the last 4 years that I've done comedy. Yeah. So
I think I love gigging in London, but it is very much its own microcosm, if you like.
Yeah.
And I think you do learn much more from being out on the road and
definitely.
But I remember doing a gig in London, and this woman was really off her head, and I could tell that she didn't like me, and that's fine. And I know I sound Scottish, and I'm not a problem with that, but I think I'm a decipherable Scot. I think you can understand what I'm saying. And she came up to me, "Oi, Jock! I couldn't understand a fucking word!" And I went, "You're a racist whore." Yeah. And she looked, I went, "Did you understand that?" Toodles. Because I thought, well, why? And she did understand that.
She got that coming through loud
double
and
whammy,
clear.
Racist and whore. Bye.
Oh, I think that's a lovely way to end the podcast. Racist whore. remind us again, Lily,
where
you are.
Where we can see your smut.
7:25. Pleasance Courtyard, Bunker One. The room's really hot, but I did get a fan, and I do encourage people to squat over it.
And it is a lovely room. I like Bunker One.
It's a lovely room, comfortable seats.
Yeah,
be careful.
This guy came in the other day and was like, "Oh my God, the seats have backs." Yeah. I was like, "Great."
If you are a lady and you're squatting over the fan, you don't want a clitorectomy. So if you are well endowed in that area, ladies, just watch.
Or labia, lady.
Just watch.
You don't want to trim the old labia.
Oh my God, no! Can you imagine?
There's a lot of this chat in the show.
Oh. You know, I'm tempted.
You'll love
sounds
it.
Sounds like my
You'll
bag.
Love it.
I can move around a pause for wonderful Lily.
Lily.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, Jojo, that's us for another day.
Oh, it is. I'll see you mañana,
darling. Toodles and Godspeed.
Mwah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.